Welcome to Halley Healthcast, the wellness podcast from Halley Health, your partner in helping you live your healthiest life. Every episode on our podcast addresses a new topic important to your health and well-being, bringing in expert doctors and other health experts who offer advice and answer your most pressing questions. Today's episode is all about heart health. February is National Heart Month, so it's the perfect time to learn more about this important topic. Here with us is Dr. Matthew Kamen. He is a cardiologist at Christie Clinic in Champaign, Illinois, and a fellow in the American College of Cardiology. Welcome, Dr. Kamen, and thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your knowledge. So, doctor, let's begin with a fairly broad question. We all know the importance of heart health to our overall health and well-being, and that diet and exercise are important factors to maintaining a healthy heart. But this time of year, with the cold winter weather upon us, those good health practices can take a beating, or at the very least, a backseat. So, Dr. Kamen, what can we do on a day-to-day basis, regardless of the weather, to keep ourselves heart healthy?
Well, the American Heart Association came up with something that's called Life's Essential Eight. And to answer your question, what we can do during the winter months when we're stuck inside and, you know, all the outdoor activities are limited, really focus on a couple things, not just exercise, but also eating healthy, physical activity, and getting healthy sleep. So exercise, really the American Heart Association recommends to get a minimum of 150 minutes of aerobic or moderate intensity activity a week. And, you know, with limitations with being outdoors, we're limited to what we can do. So oftentimes I tell my patients it might be worth investing in an elliptical, a treadmill, or a stationary bike. So something you can do year round, whether it doesn't have to depend on the weather. Sometimes belonging to a local gym or a recreational club may help as well. But doing indoor activities and getting an exercise regimen inside would help. And sometimes even just, you know, walking, you know, finding a mall or somewhere where you can walk indoors or an indoor track. But it's not just exercise. You also want to be eating healthy. And that's year round too. You know, no matter what the weather is, you want to be eating a heart healthy diet. Something called the DASH diet is what the American College of Cardiology recommends. And it consists of a diet that is high in vegetables and fruits, low fat dairy products. And you want to limit the sweets, sugar sweetened beverages, red meat. You want to take in a low amount of saturated fats and cholesterol. And lastly, healthy sleep. You want to get at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. And it's something that you want to do on a regular basis. You don't want to be catching up on your sleep. You want to be getting a good night's sleep every night.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kamen. That's some wonderful advice. Obviously, our level of activity and what we need to eat on a daily basis are key factors in heart health. And we're also told to keep a close watch on the levels of cholesterol and triglycerides in our blood. So what are those exactly? And why are those numbers so important?
Yeah, so cholesterol, there are different components of cholesterol. So when you get a cholesterol panel, you look at, you know, the good cholesterol, the bad cholesterol. So the primary target, what we call the bad cholesterol, is the LDL. The other cholesterol component is the triglycerides, and that's a secondary target. But both of those particles are what we would call atherogenic. In other words, those particles, when they're elevated, increase the likelihood of cholesterol getting deposited in the coronary arteries, our arteries of our heart, and that leads to plaque buildup. And as more cholesterol builds up, the plaque progresses and it can become occlusive, meaning it will limit blood flow and start causing symptoms. But more importantly, any bit of plaque could potentially rupture and then the artery completely closes up, and that's what causes a heart attack. So the cholesterol particles we really want to focus on are the breakdown, the LDL. So the higher the LDL, the higher the risk. And triglycerides are also an important component, but it's a secondary influence. The good cholesterol is the HDL, and there's really not much we can do about that as far as trying to raise it other than exercising and eating healthy. But the importance of the triglycerides are influenced by diet. Diet has a big contribution to the triglycerides. Although the LDL is affected a little bit, the triglycerides are really impacted by carbohydrates, sugars, and alcohol can also raise the triglycerides as well. But you want to be exercising and eating healthy, pretty much what we were talking about earlier, to allow that cholesterol to be as low as possible. If it gets high enough, sometimes you have to go on a medication.
Wonderful. Great explanation. So we also hear a lot from healthcare providers and in the media about regularly checking our blood pressure. So why is that so important? And what does high or low blood pressure mean in relation to heart health? And what can we do to keep it under control?
High blood pressure or hypertension has a direct effect on the blood vessels. So the vascular health, the health of the blood vessels, is determined about on that high blood pressure. The pressure that is in the blood vessels are basically putting pressure within the walls of the artery and can cause dysfunction of the lining of the blood vessels. When those lining of the blood vessels are affected, that makes the blood vessel more permeable or more susceptible for cholesterol to get deposited. So high blood pressure, hypertension, is a risk factor for heart disease. Why? Because it makes the blood vessel more vulnerable to the other effects of the other risk factors, like elevated cholesterol, like diabetes. So it's very important for the integrity of the blood vessels to keep the blood pressure normal. Blood pressure is defined as high as a blood pressure of 130 over 80 or higher. That is the definition of hypertension, and there's different stages. When you're getting a blood pressure of 130 over 80, that is considered stage one or mild hypertension. And a lot of times that can be adequately treated with lifestyle changes, like we talked about earlier, exercising regularly, eating healthy, low sodium diet, heart healthy diets. When the blood pressure gets to be excessively high, 140 over 90 or higher, that's called stage two hypertension. And that often requires medications because that becomes a dangerously high level that a lot of times, even with our best efforts, we can't get that down to where it needs to be. The importance of the blood pressure also not only affects the heart, but also the small blood vessels of the kidney and the brain. High blood pressure can lead to kidney failure because of the damage that it can occur with the blood vessels going to the kidney. And the brain, it can affect the small blood vessels. These blood vessels can rupture and cause small little bleeds and can cause small little strokes that can actually even lead to dementia. And that's called multi-infarct dementia. That means tiny little strokes that add up and eventually can cause memory loss. The other thing about high blood pressure is there are a lot of other things you could do to lower your blood pressure by things we're taking in and don't know it, such as caffeine. Sometimes caffeine in an excessive amount can affect the blood pressure, and some people are more sensitive to that than others. Other medications that might be affecting our blood pressure are over-the-counter medicines like Motrin, Advil, Aleve. These are the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that we use a lot of times for our typical aches and pains. Oral contraceptives is another medication that can raise the blood pressure. Alcohol can raise the blood pressure. And sometimes herbal supplements such as St. John's wort, ephedra, those are things over the counter that we don't think about, but those also can cause high blood pressure. Other things such as decongestants that we sometimes take that have phenylephrine or pseudoephedrine can also raise the blood pressure. And just so you know, things we can do such as that DASH diet I talked about earlier, can lower the blood pressure by up to 11 points, and a regular exercise can lower the blood pressure by up to 5 to 8 points. Blood pressure lowering can occur if you're exercising 90 to 150 minutes a week.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kamen. That definitely makes a lot of sense. It sure sounds like talking to your doctor and taking the right medicines as prescribed are also key factors in keeping a healthy heart. So how important is communication between doctor and patient in helping to prevent heart problems? Obviously, we all need to listen to and follow our doctor's advice, but what do you as a doctor need to hear from your patients in order to help keep them heart healthy?
Well, as you point out, communication is the key. So heart health is definitely teamwork, and it's teamwork between the physician and the patient. I use an analogy of a sports team, right? So you got the players. They got to run the play, but the coach has to guide the players. Okay, this is the play we're going to run. This is what we need to do. But ultimately, the coach is not on the field. The players are on the field. But so it's a teamwork. The coach has to tell the patient, the players what to do, and the players have to listen to the coach and run the play. Same thing with the patient-physician relationship. The physician's job is to explain to the patient what their condition is and why the medications that he or she is prescribing, why it's important and what it's doing. When I go into get my car fixed, I don't know anything about cars. I rely on the mechanic telling me what's wrong with my car and you can do this, this, or that, and why it's important to do these things. And what's the risk if I don't do something? Same thing with the patient. As a physician, I need to communicate to the patient what the condition is and why I'm prescribing these medications and the importance of taking them and what's the risk of not taking them. A patient is more likely to take a medication when he or she knows the benefit of it and what the purpose of it is. On the flip side, I need communication from my patients to let me know, how are they doing? Is the medication working? Are they having any side effects? As a physician, I want to know that, and I don't want patients to go off on their own and stop a medicine or change a dose without the guidance and my input, because they may potentially be harming themselves. Also, seeking information on the internet, there's a lot of good information out there, but there's a lot of misinformation, and patients need to be led by their guidance of their physician. Otherwise, they can get misled very easily by doing Google search and looking at things on the internet. So it's what we would call shared decision-making. It's part of the patient's responsibility to take control and be involved in their healthcare, of course, with the guidance of the physician. So it requires a dialogue, not a monologue, patient-physician discussion, right? So it's not just, this is what you need to do, do it. It's, let's talk about it. There are options. It's not a one-size-fits-all. So it's really important to keep that dialogue open and a consistent communication, a two-way street.
I was just going to say, a two-way street. That is so important to remember. But of course, since heart conditions can be hereditary, even taking good care of ourselves can't always guarantee that we won't have problems at some point in our lives. Is early detection as important for treatment of heart issues as it is for other potentially life-threatening conditions? And what kinds of screening for heart problems are the most effective?
Absolutely. Look, the sooner you are made aware of a problem, the sooner you can intervene and reduce future risk. I again tell my patients as an analogy, when do you start saving for retirement? Not when you're 60, when you're getting close to retirement. You don't think about it then. You start as early as possible. You should start right away, right? When you're in your 20s, when you're in your 30s, you get that 401k going so that by the time you're 65, you're in a good position financially to retire. But same thing with your health. You start with your health, taking risk management and taking care of your health early in your life. It's an investment, just like investing in your retirement. You invest in your health early on. So you take factors of living healthy, eating healthy, exercising, but also screening, right? You don't know if you have high blood pressure or diabetes or high cholesterol unless you check for it. The fact that you don't check for it doesn't mean it's not there. It's going to be there, but you discover it once you go looking for it. The day you find out your blood pressure is high is not the day you've developed hypertension. It's the day you happen to discover it. No one knows how long you've had it, but you just happen to discover it then. So unless you're looking regularly, you may not know about these problems until what happens. A catastrophic event occurs, a stroke occurs, a heart attack occurs. And a lot of times that's the first time people realize they've had high blood pressure. So it starts early on. So screening, to your point, it's just basic, regular, routine physical exams on a yearly basis with your primary care physician, getting the blood pressure checked regularly, checking for diabetes, and checking your cholesterol. So regular checkups are so important. And it starts at a young age, right? And the other thing as far as screening is concerned, we don't really necessarily have any, quote, screening tools or screening tests we do for heart disease, because those are not covered, unfortunately, by insurance companies. But there are some ways of detecting early signs of plaque in the arteries with a coronary calcium score. But again, that's not routinely covered by insurance. But certainly, if you have symptoms, you don't want to ignore any symptoms. So, you know, the take-home message is there's hereditary risks of heart disease. And so when you identify a family history of early heart disease, which is defined as a first-degree relative, a male under the age of 55 who's had a heart attack or heart disease, or a female under the age of 65. That's the time, no matter what age you are, to get in and make sure you're not having any significantly high cholesterol levels. There's a lipoprotein A, which is another cholesterol particle that can be monitored for. But when you have a family history of early heart disease, even in your 20s, you want to get that, at least that initial cholesterol checked, because you may be sitting on a genetic cholesterol abnormality that you don't want to discover later in life. You want to discover it sooner the better.
That is so good to know, Dr. Kamen. Our last question for you. If there is one main message about heart health that you'd like everyone to know, what would it be?
Well, I would recommend that everybody live a healthy lifestyle. So I treat heart disease, right? So I'm a heart doctor. So I'm seeing patients with heart attacks and heart disease and heart failure. These are all downstream. These are all the damage that occurs from risk factors. So let's back up. What are those risk factors? High blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, smoking, obesity, inactivity. Okay, well, let's take a step back. What causes high blood pressure? What causes diabetes? What causes high cholesterol? A lot of times, there are a lot of things that can cause, but certainly something that will increase those risks are being overweight, not exercising regularly, and not eating healthy. So eating high cholesterol diets, eating red meat, and not exercising. So that's something what's called primordial care. We talk about primary prevention. That's trying to prevent the disease. Secondary prevention is trying to prevent, once you have the disease, preventing the risks of developing a catastrophic event like a heart attack or stroke. So it starts early on. If you eat healthy, exercise, maintain a normal body weight, you will prevent, or more likely to prevent, high blood pressure down the road. You're more likely to prevent diabetes down the road, and you're more likely to prevent high cholesterol down the road. When you develop those are driving the risks to develop heart disease. So if you start early living a healthy lifestyle, you hopefully will keep yourself. It's like that investment, right? Investing in your health, investing in your retirement early on from the get-go. It's never too late to start a heart healthy habit, but the sooner you start, the better alignment you'll have to reduce those risk factors. So my message for patients would be live a healthy lifestyle. Make sure you're getting enough sleep. Make sure you're exercising at 150 minutes of aerobic exercise a week, eating healthy, which we talked about earlier, that DASH diet type of plan, and make sure you're maintaining an adequate body weight and go to your doctor regularly. Get your blood pressure checked, get your cholesterol checked, and get your sugars checked to make sure you don't have those diseases, because that's going to drive heart attack. I always tell my patients, I want to prevent a heart attack, not treat a heart attack. And by preventing a heart attack, it's by doing those heart healthy lifestyles, but also regular routine screening and maintenance. And that's the key. And lastly, don't ignore symptoms. If you have any kind of symptoms, shortness of breath, chest discomfort, anything, get in, because that could be an early sign of heart disease. It might not be. There are other things that can cause it, but you don't want to ignore any early warning signs. It's good to get in to see your physician, especially if you haven't seen a physician in a while. It's a good time to get a checkup. Just like when you're driving your car and something's making a noise, you don't want to ignore it. You want to get it checked in, right? So it's just like our body's like a car. It's a machine, and we got to watch out because the parts wear out and we need checkups.
Well, some wonderful resources and information. Dr. Kamen, you've simply been a pleasure to have on our podcast. Thank you so much for joining us and for all that you do every day at Christie Clinic for so many people and their families. That concludes today's Halley HealthCast. Tune in next time as we tackle yet another topic important for your health and well-being. And remember, Halley Health is your partner in helping you live your healthiest life. Visit Halley.com. That's HALLY.com for resources, information, tips, and much more. Let us help keep you and your family healthy and well. Thank you for listening. We hope you tune in again.